So our scripture reading this morning is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. May God teach us from his word today, and as we ask Don to come up, we're so grateful that you're here. He'll be here this Sunday and next Sunday while Pastor Dan is away, and we've gotten to know you very well. Don was our intern pastor during COVID and got us through, and we're so grateful when he can come back and share with us.
I'm getting old, and I haven't been here in a while, so I brought slides and everything, and I forgot to make them into PowerPoint because I'm a Mac guy, so I apologize for that. Historians noticed a shift in culture from the 1800s to the 1900s. And one of the things that they discovered is that at one time, people were called travelers. A traveler is somebody who prevails, who endures, who goes through pain and suffering. I talked to a missionary couple years ago. They were in their 90s at that time, and they went out in the mission field in the 1800s for the first time. And they got on a slow boat, and literally a slow freighter, to go to the Middle East or to the Far East, and it took them 6 months to get there. 6 months on a freighter. My wife is in England, and she will come home in 8 hours. You can fly to Australia in 22 hours. 6 months. The thing that happened was people in the 1800s who were travelers would leave their homes, go someplace, and stay there for years. And they would adopt the clothing. They learned to eat the food and cook the food of the country that they were in. They would learn the language. They would, in some cases, never return home to where they were born. Never see their families again. But along the journey, we change the name of those people to tourists. A tourist is somebody who goes in a circle. They leave their home, they go someplace and they sample and look around. They may try a little bit of food here. They get the t-shirt that says, I've been to the Eiffel Tower. They get the t-shirt that says, I've been on a cruise to the Bahamas. They come back with a hat maybe, a bunch of photos that they can show off. But the truth of the matter is, they never, ever join the culture. They never immerse themselves in where they've been because they're always coming home. It costs them nothing except money. That's what's happened in the church. We have people in the church who are believers. They believe all the right things. But they allow those beliefs to be superficial. Those beliefs, depending on what's happening in their lives, are deep or shallow. And really what we really need to see is people who are disciples, more like travelers. People who are committed completely to being immersed, being part of God's kingdom, which is an upside-down kingdom. I have to confess to you that as a pastor, most of my career was spent as a believer. I believed all the right things. I believed all the things that made me a good Baptist pastor. And I missed something very important. I missed the difference between being a believer and being a disciple. I was not transformed by my beliefs. I was transformed by Jesus Christ. And so this morning I'm calling you, and I want to encourage you to be transformed, not just to believe. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would edit the message this morning. that you would take the words that I think I know, that you transform them into your words, and that you would be seen and not me. Father, open our ears to hear and our hearts to do, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So the first thing we see in this passage is, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Well, first thing you learn when you go to Bible college or you go to seminary is you learn that God is everywhere, absolutely everywhere. There is no space, there is no molecule in the universe that does not have the Lord. So he is everywhere. Do we all agree on that? That's pretty easy. That's a belief that we can all share, okay? So it says, the Spirit gives us freedom. So we have to ask ourselves, what is freedom? And you look at it, and I look at people, and people think, well, freedom is financial freedom. God's going to give me financial freedom. God is going to come into my life, and I'm never going to have money worries ever again. Well, that simply does not seem to be true. I know lots of believers. We know lots of churches around the world that are destitute. They have nothing. The dream of meeting in a building like this is so far from them that they can't even imagine it. They often meet in fields. They sometimes meet by the river. They sometimes meet in somebody's basement, or they find a secret place. How often did the church meet in the catacombs under Rome? And so the freedom of the Spirit is not in financial freedom. It's not in being financially secure. It seems that where the Spirit is, there is freedom to be poor. Where the Spirit is, seems to be that there is freedom to not worry about having a better car or a better home or more discretionary income so you can go on a holiday. So let's explore this a little farther. What about the freedom of expression? We all think that where the Spirit of the Lord is, we'll have the freedom to express our opinions, to tell people what we think. And yet that's not true. Many Christians today live in cultures where there is no freedom to express anything. You go to the Middle East, you can't share your faith in the Middle East. And yet the church is growing daily. You go to China, you're not allowed to share your faith. So there is no freedom of expression, and yet the Spirit of the Lord is there. So it seems to me that the freedom of the Lord is to be free in a culture where you're oppressed. Think about it. God gives us freedom to exist where we're planted. So that means that those of us who think that the Spirit of the Lord will give me freedom to have a healthy family, to have no strife in the family. My teenagers won't rebel. My teenagers won't be unhappy. My teenagers won't get mental problems. I won't go through divorce. Well, the truth of the matter is, everywhere we look, families are imploding. Kids are going through difficult times. Yet sometimes wonder if they're going to survive their teenage years, or better still, if you're going to survive them. You know, and marriages are coming apart. And so the freedom that we have in Christ is not freedom from, but freedom to be in that moment, to be there and to know that God is there. There's a big difference. You see, the church in North America has interpreted the freedom of the Spirit as freedom from all kinds of stuff. The freedom to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And the truth of the matter is, I know a lot of unwise Christians. I know a lot of poor Christians. I know a lot of people who are Christians who are sick, both mentally and physically. It's not freedom from cancer. It's freedom to be a person who has cancer and to be free to be in Christ at that moment. So this does not have the word free from in it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom to be in Jesus Christ. That's powerful. That is incredibly powerful. It's taken me my whole life to figure that out. For so long I preached freedom was from, and I was wrong. And if I could go back, I would apologize to all those young believers that I worked with who I gave the wrong message to. I apologize to myself for living with the idea that I could be free from my past, that I could be free from the pain in my life, that I could be free from the hurt in my soul. Something has hit me. I'm 71 years old almost, and in 71 years, nothing has changed. I am the same person that I was as a 12-year-old when I came to Christ. I still worry. I still get angry. I still swear. Don't tell anybody, particularly my grandchildren. I still have a problem with wanting more than I ever have. I grew up poor, and I always want more. And for a long time, I tried to hide that. For a long time, I tried to wear this mask that said, I'm not that kind of person. But the truth of the matter is, I am that person. And the freedom of the Lord is that I can be that person because Christ is there. The Spirit is there. He's not afraid of me. In fact, he loves me. Revolutionary. So let's go to the next verse. Now we all of us, you and I, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. First thing is, our focus is God in this verse. The second thing is, we have to take the veil off. Every one of us wears a veil. We call it a mask. In the Middle East, women wear veils, and the only people who ever see their faces are their children in their home or their husbands. They go out in public, they hide their faces. Every time we go out in public from our homes, we hide our faces. I have done that for years. I have lied to people by acting as if I'm not a worrier. I've lied to people acting as if I'm not angry. I've lied to people by acting as if I don't worry. Matter of fact, I used to preach a sermon about not worrying, and I was the worst culprit in the room. I have a daughter who's going through chemo, or just been through chemo. And I worry. And you know something? I need to take the veil off and contemplate the glory of God. And what is that glory? That I can be who I am, and he loves me just the way I am. There's an old hymn. Some of you who are old like I will know it. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Remember that? You come just as you are. And that's okay with God. For too long, I thought that I had to fit in. I had to fit into the culture of being a Christian. You know, I've never fit into the church. I don't know how to act the way Baptists act. I don't know how to act the way Christians act. I'm a mess. I've been a mess my whole life. And I can come to God, and I can be a mess. And it's okay. Why? Because he loves me unconditionally. He loves me. When I fail, when I swear, when I worry, when I get angry, he loves me. And I work really hard. I mean, I really, really tried to get rid of my temper. I really tried to not worry. because I wanted to be acceptable to God. And it was all for nothing. It was a waste of my time. See? Because he loved me anyways. He loved me. And so, if we come to Jesus Christ and we take the veil off and just are in him as we are and who we are, we're going to be transformed. How are we going to be transformed? Well, I just told you that I'm the same person I was when I was 12 years old, right? Nothing's changed. In 50-some years or 60 years or whatever, I don't know, do the math, I am fundamentally the same person. What's transformed? What's transformed is where I look. What's transformed is I've gone from a person who believes that I am free from my anger, I'm free from my temper, I'm free from my jealousy, I'm free from my greed, I'm free from to being, I'm free in Christ. I'm free in this overwhelming love and the grace of God that takes the worst thing I do and does something with them that is just absolutely blows my mind. What does he do? He turns it into grace that helps others who are a mess. Huh. And what happens? When that happens, when that transformation happens, when I go from thinking that I can do something, that I can be something from what I was, to being, this is who I am, and I give it all to God, I am transformed into a vessel that he can use. What does Scripture say? One of the most important verses in the Bible is, he is made strong in our weakness. Huh. You know, quoted that verse for years. Didn't get it. He's made strong when I am unveiled, when I am honest with him and with you. He is made strong when I no longer lie to myself and think that I can do something and know that I can't do anything, but he can do everything. When I simply relax in Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm worried about Gail flying home from England and getting on that plane and maybe getting COVID again. And just give it to him. It's okay. Because I'm in Christ and he's in charge of absolutely everything. Everything. Here's the crux. You can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can believe that he was born of a virgin. You can believe that he lived in Bethlehem. You can believe that his mother was Mary and his stepfather was Joseph, that he went to the cross and died, and you can have all the right beliefs. And you can still have a theology that says, I'm free from. And you never become free in Christ. Because you're always trying to get somewhere instead of being in him. What I want to recommend to you, what I want to encourage you with, what I have discovered after all these years, and trust me, I'm a slow learner, the slowest, is that finally I'm in Christ. And being in Christ is the most relaxing, amazing thing that has ever happened to me. I am overwhelmed by his love and his grace on a daily basis. So, what are the takeaways? Freedom is a result of asking Christ into our lives. You got to start there. You got to believe something. So, belief is important. Transformation happens when we stop hiding. from God and from ourselves. We stop lying to ourselves. We stop thinking we can change things. Thirdly, we focus not on the things around us, not on our hardships, not on our pain, not on our cancer, not on our family situation. We focus on Jesus Christ and who he is and how much he loves us daily, no matter what's happening. And then transformation happens. And it's a transformation far greater than anything I could fabricate or you can fabricate. And so stop being a tourist in God's kingdom. Stop coming and having a look and saying, I like that. I'm going to take that home so I can show everybody the picture. I really like the fact that, you know, God comes into our lives and gives us good music. Stop being a tourist and become a traveler. Become a disciple. Someone who only wants to be in Jesus Christ, not be from Jesus Christ. That's my prayer for you. That's what I've discovered in the last year. And I want to encourage you, get on that journey. Be transformed from this world into his kingdom. Let's pray. Father, this is so hard for us to do, to let go, to admit who we are, to give it to you, to say, Father, I've tried to change and I can't. I've tried to fix this, I can't. I've tried to impress people and I can't. And to just know that all of that is okay because you love us and your grace is enough. It never fails. It never lets go of us. Father, pour that into our souls this week. Free us like we've never been freed before. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I believe the worship team is going to come and lead us.